shed for me. Way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It soothes my doubt and calms my fear. Dries all of my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the flows to the lowest valley, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the It flows to the lowest valley, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose. It will never lose. It will never.
Thank you, Mrs. Swinton. And I was kidding around with Mrs. Swinton. I knew she was going to sing. And I walked down there and I said, Mrs. Swinton, I need you to change the song you're singing tonight to sing something I want sung. And she looked at me and, listen, I like the spirit. She said, that's fine, preacher. What do you want? I thought, man, life, she just spoiled my... She had an actual good spirit about it. I was going to try to upset her a little bit, but she didn't. She wouldn't let me do it. So thank you, Mrs. Swinton, for the song. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ that has cleansed us from our sins. Church, take your Bible, if you would, tonight. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to continue on in our study about controversial issues. We're going to move on to a different area probably from now to the end of the year or close to it, probably move to some issues that I think probably are a little bit controversial inside the church and how we're supposed to operate in the realm of certain things. And many of the things that I'm going to say tonight, many of you have heard me say or preachers say for years. Matter of fact, some of the content that I'm going to use tonight, I will be using from a message that I preached here about a year ago on this subject, but we've got a lot of new people. And I want to talk to you tonight about Christian judging. In other words, the controversy of how or if a Christian should be involved in judging of any sort at any level. And now listen, I want to say this before we get started tonight. There is a right way to judge, and there is a wrong way to judge. And we're going to look at those matters tonight. Hope that'll help you. Listen, a lot of times I don't like for you to constantly write while I'm preaching, but tonight I've got a lot of material. I'm going to give you a lot of it. You're going to have to study some of it on your own, and I'll give you a bunch of verses here that you can take home and study on your own. So let's stand together, Matthew chapter 7. Now remember, Jesus is teaching Christians, right? He's teaching disciples. Now if you go back and you read in chapter number 6, he talks about verse 33, about seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he goes on, and then, listen now, you got to understand that in this message, Jesus just went from subject to subject. And he goes in now and begins what we know of as chapter 7. And the first thing that he says is this: judge not that ye be not judged. Now, it's not when you get accused of being judgmental, or if you've been accused, it's when you get accused. There will be people that will accuse you of being judgmental toward them when you do nothing but try to correct them, or you do nothing but try to instruct them in a better way of how to get something, and they'll think that you are having a judgmental spirit. So you're going to get accused in this area. But the Lord says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the beam or mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? He says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now I want to say this for those of you that are new Christians. When Jesus said, judge not that ye be not judged, he was not condemning your ability to judge. You have to be able to judge. But what he's saying, he says, judge not with the wrong motive and with the wrong method. He said, that ye be not judged by me under the same restrictions. So he's not condemning judging. He's saying before you enter into that process, you better make sure that things are right and that you're doing it with the right motive of going into it, of either being helpful or teaching or constructive to some manner. Now, there is a judging that takes place we'll look at just briefly tonight that isn't constructive. It's destructive. We'll look at that for just a moment. So I want to take these verses tonight and preach to you about the controversy of Christian judging in the Bible, and what does the Bible say about a Christian and judgment. Father, bless us in the short time that we have together. We want to learn, and we want this to be kind of somewhat of a Bible study format. We want to learn from the Bible. Holy Spirit, please do your work in us and through us now tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. You can be seated. The word judge or judgmental or judgment or some form of the word judge, I want you to listen to this now, is used over 700 times in the Bible. Now, when it's used that many times, then obviously we better pay close attention because it has something to do with our Christian life. And yet we find here that the subject that we're speaking about tonight, most Christians in churches are absolutely petrified over, or they don't understand what Christian judging is. Now, it's a subject that we have all addressed at one time or another, and we've spoken positively or negatively about it. But listen, a lot of times we speak ignorantly about it because we do not understand, because we hear so many people use Matthew 7:1 in a negative sense, and they're using it out of context. They're using it totally out of context and what Jesus was saying. You say, well, how do we know that he was talking about judging yourself and your motive before you enter into the process of judgment? Well, look at what he says. See the illustration that he gave? He gave the illustration about you and I trying to... Well, look at it. Look at it. Look what the illustration he said. He says, and why beholdest thou the mote, verse 3, that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is where? In thine own eye. So we're to consider ourselves first before we enter into judgment towards someone else. So it sounds to me like that the very first thing we're to do is take a look at ourselves. Okay? Take a look at our motives. Take a look at our methods. Take a look at who we are and make sure that we're not doing this out to be vindictive towards somebody or to hurt somebody. We're to do this in such a manner that Jesus operated in, and that was to be constructive in judgment. Now, why would God condemn Christian judging when that's the basis that we're going to be judged on? Okay, we're going to be judged one day on the things that we've done. In other words, God Himself will judge us. You say, but yeah, but preacher, He's got the right to. He's God. He's got the authority to. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God gives you a degree of authority as well to be able to discern right from wrong. And so before we enter into the crux of this message tonight, I want you to understand a few things. First of all, let me say this. I mentioned it just a moment ago, but I'll say it again. It's not if you're going to be accused of being judgmental, it's when you'll be accused. Someone will accuse you of judging them out of context. Number two, those away from God, listen now, cannot discern between your desire to help and criticism. You hear me? Those that are out of the will of God cannot discern the difference between your desire to help them and they think you're criticizing. So they can't discern the difference between the two. Next, sin and flesh always produce guilt and suspicion. Sin and flesh always produce guilt and suspicion. I cannot tell you how many times that usually when a person is in deep sin and you go and you try to help them, the first thing that they think you're doing is belittling them. The first thing they think you're doing is judging them and thinking that you are better than who they are. And that's not what you're there to do at all. You're there to be constructive, to help, to get them from where they are to where they need to be. Number four is this. The lost will use judgment as a crutch. The lost will always use the card of judgment as a crutch to them. They'll use it to discredit people. They'll use it to discredit God, the Bible, and the church. So we've got to think along those lines tonight. Now, let me give you some other things to think about. First of all, God never condemned the process of judging. Listen now, only the method and the motive of judging. He never condemned the process of it because, listen now, He did it Himself. Jesus even judged. We'll look at it in just a moment. He even encouraged it. So He's not going to condemn something that He encourages. So God did not condemn the process, but He did condemn those who use the wrong method and the wrong motive of it. Number two, judgment has to be a part of our lives or no one would ever be held accountable. Think about it. Let me let that soak in. Just soak that in just a minute. You have to participate in a degree of judgment in your life or no one would ever be held accountable. You say, well, I just don't think it's right. All right, you school teachers, look up here at me. I don't want you ever grading a paper ever again. Am I right? Because if you're grading a paper, help me out, teachers, are you not to a degree judging them on their work? So if you have to put a C or a D, or some of you, your favorite letter in the alphabet is F. You see, they have to judge the paper. They have to judge the work. Or you will never, help me out, you'll never learn. So there has to be a degree of judgment. And if there wasn't, there'd never be people never be held accountable. If that was the case, no teacher would ever grade another paper. Listen, no person would ever sit on another jury. There would be nobody. No person would ever sit on a jury. Listen, no employee would ever be held accountable for his operation and his performance on the job. Nobody would ever vote in another election. Now, whether you call it whatever you want, but when we go to the polls in November, you know what you're doing? You're judging. Yeah, that's what you're doing. You say, oh no, preacher,
Not me. I love everybody. Love doesn't have anything to do with it. It's whether or not you listen, you've got two candidates, you're going to cast a vote. And you know what you're going to judge on? You're going to judge on their actions, their words, and what they represent. And by the way, God says, hey folks, just calm down. That's okay. It's okay to do that. But yet there are some that are so nervous about this, they're afraid that they're going to offend someone. I'm going to show you in just a minute, Jesus didn't seem very concerned about offending somebody when he had to make a judgment. Look at number three. Most people are fearful of passing judgment today because it's viewed as an act, listen to me, of hate, intolerance, or abuse. You know that the courts are filled with harassment cases today? And you know why harassment cases were brought against some of these people? Because that person had to judge them on job performance, and because they weren't performing, they fired them. They said, no, you were harassing me. So that's the reason people are so afraid. Listen, folks, do you realize that's one of the reasons our country is in the condition that it's in? Churches are in the condition that they're in. Homes are in the condition they're in. Because nobody wants to judge anything. Because they're afraid they're going to hurt somebody's feelings. They're afraid that, oh, I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You see, listen, our culture today has determined that since we are all flawed people, then if you've got flaws, then you don't have the right to judge anybody else's flaws. Because how can, listen, you know, it's kind of like how can the pot call the kettle black? Right? It's like, how can you call me when you've got flaws? Hey, listen, folks, that's not even the issue. We've already determined we're depraved. We're already determined that we've got faults. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. You see, modern America today, they just don't believe that there exists an objective standard by which we ought to judge. We're going to learn here in just a minute. Oh yeah, we got a hand, but we got a standard by which we're to judge. You got it in your hand. That's how we operate. You see, they just don't think that there is a reason that you ought to be able to point out right and wrong. I'm just telling you, our homes are in trouble. Our country's in trouble. Churches are in trouble because most people do not want to get involved in judging. Perfect illustration. Not too long ago, I was coming up, I've told you a story, I was coming up Lamar, right here, and a kid dead stopped right there. The car in front of me slammed on brakes, I slammed on brakes. Guy behind me didn't slam on brakes. I was his brake. So he rammed the back of my pickup, tore the back of my pickup up. Now, the thing about it is, if I operated on the philosophy of most people, you know what I said? Hey, it's okay. It's okay. I don't want to judge you. You say, well, what did you do, preacher? I judged him. You know what I judged? Here's what I judged. You didn't see me. You didn't put on brakes. So you hit me. Okay? So guess what? Your insurance is paying. Right? Okay, you say, well, you shouldn't have done that. Well, let me ask you this. Would you have done that? Would you have just said, oh, it's okay. I don't believe in judging. I'm not going to judge you on this issue. No, right? You're thinking, wait a minute. If my insurance pays this, it's going to go sky high. But listen to me, folks. Do you understand that too many Christians try to operate in that principle in the way that they live their Christian life? And they think, listen, we ought not to judge. I'm here to tell you, as your pastor, folks, you are dead wrong. You are to judge on some matters. And I'm going to show you that the Bible teaches a degree of judgment. Now, let me say this. There is a sinful judgment. You say, what's a sinful judgment, preacher? That is forming an opinion without all the facts. That's judging somebody in several areas. First of all, I'm just going to give these to you because this is the part I've covered in a message before. There are people that judge people physically. They judge them on their physical features, on their infirmities, on their inabilities to perform. And by the way, you've heard it, haven't you? They judge people on their physical abilities. Listen, on something they could not even control. And yet people would judge them. May I remind you that in Psalm chapter 139 and verse number 14,
The Scripture says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. If God says we're fearfully and wonderfully made, you know what? You might want to reconsider that attitude. You might want to reconsider that angle. But sinful judgment is judging people on their physicality. Number two, another part of sinful judging is this, is when we judge somebody on their motive or their intentions, their thoughts, their feelings when you don't know. Let me give you some scripture references here. Romans chapter 14, verses 2, 3, and 4. You can go see it there. Remember 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 7. Man looketh how? On the outward appearance, but God looks on the... Because you can't see that, see? And so, when sinful judgment, we get into sin when we start judging intentions and thoughts and feelings. Let me give you a third one. And that is, we get into sinful judging when we get into judging someone's position. You say, like what? Whether they're saved or lost. Because you don't know that. I hear it. Listen, folks. Can we all just raise our hand? We've all been guilty of it. Well, I don't even think they're saved. And you know what? God said, well, how do you know that, hot shot? You don't know that. You say, well, by their fruits you shall know them. Well, let me ask you this. By your fruits, people know you too, won't they? You know, listen, folks, we're not stumbling over people to be out here on soul winning on Thursday night. Amen, preacher. Hey, they're not lined up to drive buses. Amen. They're not standing in line in my office wanting to say, preacher, is there a place for me to teach a Sunday school class or drive a bus or work in a ministry? We want to serve. We want to serve. I checked my office just a minute ago. Wasn't nobody out there. Now listen to me. Be careful before you start quoting Scripture and spouting Scripture at people. Because remember, judge not. Because the thing about it is, you're judging a motive, an intention, a feeling. And what you've got to do is, you've got to examine first here, what's your intention, what's your motive, all right? And that's the whole thing. So be careful about judging position. And I'm talking about whether people are saved or lost, whether people are right with God or backslidden, we better be careful about judging people on their past sins that have already been forgiven. Okay? Well, you want to get in a fist fight with somebody, you start regurgitating things that they've already been forgiven of and they've already gotten right about, and you start puking them up in their face. Well, you can get some people stirred up like that. Now listen, folks, when we judge, when sinful judging is when we judge out of physicality, motive, and position. You get into that part, God's not weak, you're on your own. Because that is not what He's talking about. Now, you say, well, then what is he talking about, preacher? Let's take our attention, just draw our attention to a couple of things here and look at some Bible illustrations here, okay? Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 16. Turn to Romans chapter 16. Now, if Christian judging was off limits, then we could not fulfill this verse right here, all right? So you know what has to take place in order for you and I as Christians to fulfill this verse? There has to be a degree, a level of judging that takes place. Not condemning judging, not sinful judging, but righteous judging. Look at it. Are you there? Romans chapter 16, look at verse 17. Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, oh, look at this, mark them. Is that what your Bible says? Now stop. If you're going to mark somebody, help me out. Listen, I was born in Mississippi, but I got out of there as quick as I could. Now listen, if you're going to mark somebody, what do you have to do first? Help me now. What do you have to do first? You got to judge, right? He said, so mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned and avoid. And avoid them. Listen, did you see the criteria on which you're to judge? Their doctrine was rotten. And he says, you know what? They're coming at you with false doctrine. And so you put two and two together. And the scripture says, you judge their false teachings and you mark them. They that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Circle that now. He said, mark them. You can't do that if you don't administrate judgment prior to that. All right, 1 Corinthians 6. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. Look at verse 17. All right, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 17. Let's read down. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your temple is the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Has everybody got that God says, you know what? When I saved you, you are the temple of God. And he says, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Look at verse 17 now. Wherefore come out from among who? Stop! How can we do that except we first, what? Judge. I've got to be able to discern who I'm to come out from. Now you say, who are they? Look what he says. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I can't fulfill these verses if I just shut down all judgment in the Christian life. Let's look at one more. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. All right, y'all awake out there? You with me? All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Oh, look at this. From such, what are we to do? How can you do that except you first? You say, what's the criteria of judgment? He just gave you the whole list. He gave you the whole list that you can use as a criteria of who you're not to associate with. Now, folks, I've given you these verses to help us. We must not ignore this in our Christian life. Because if we ignore this part of our Christian life, we're going to be in trouble. That's how people get their lives messed up. Now, let me give you some other biblical illustrations to where we were commanded in the Bible to judge. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians 5. Remember the Corinthian church in these early stages? They were pretty rough around the edges. Something had come up in the church, and which things are going to always come up in churches, difficulties, but this particular case kind of got under Paul's skin. And he said, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Now, that's a problem, isn't it? Now, he says, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. But ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Stop. What did he just reprimand them for not doing? He said, you didn't judge the matter. He said, so I'm reprimanding you right now. You should have judged it. Let me tell you something. People get involved in this kind of rot. People get involved in immorality and messing around and doing things in the church. Let me tell you something. You have every right to bring that to light. Every right. Okay, now look what he says. For verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, look what Paul said. He said, I have, talk to me now, what does your King James Bible say? What did he just do? He said, I've judged it already. Now wait a minute, let me blow your mind. He wasn't even there. He didn't even see it. He said, but you know what? I have some good men in the church that have reported this to me. And you know what? I'm not there, but I've judged it. And listen, you know what he judged? He said, if the guy don't want to get right, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh that his soul might be saved in the day of judgment. Turn him over to the devil? Man, that's pretty harsh, isn't it? Check it out. It's what he judged. He said, man, that guy's pretty rough. I don't know, probably top five in all the Bible. You know what he did? He judged a matter. Guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to judge matters. as well. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Go back there. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, not before the saints? Listen, he is on their case about this thing, man. Because, listen, they refuse to do some things. He says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Listen, I don't think he's saying it like I am. I think he has a little bit of sarcastic twinge to it. He said, you mean to tell me I spent all that time teaching you guys and you can't even judge the smallest matters? Now listen, this whole thing, you can go check it out the rest of the way, all the way down through verse number 4. The thing, you know what the subject is? It's judging. And you know what they're doing? He said, listen, if things come up among you, he said, they're going to have to be judged. Not sinfully, not vindictive, not evil for evil. He says, you know how you do it? You do it person to person. And you get it right. You make it right. Well, let me give you one more. Y'all want to see a place in the Bible where Jesus judged somebody? I want you to look at it. You say, oh my goodness, Jesus judged somebody. Yeah, look at it. He said, it's okay. Well, I can tell you, this is going over like a lead balloon. It's okay, folks. Just loosen up. You're freezing up on me, all right? You think, oh, no, the preacher's saying we're just going to judge the world. That's not what I'm saying. I'm trying to help you to see that you're going to have to. People will force you to in life. But you don't have to do it in a sinful manner. Look at it, what it says in John chapter 8, verse 14. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whether I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whether I go. Ye judge after the flesh. Now listen, it almost sounds like a contradiction, but listen to me. It says, ye judge after the flesh, but what did Jesus say? I judge what? Wait a minute. He's not saying that I never judge. He said, I don't judge people after the flesh. Is that what he's saying? He said, you do judge them after the flesh. I don't. He said, because I'm God, and God looks where? On the heart. He says, all you can see is the flesh. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. Now listen, and if I judge, he said, here's how I judge. My judgment's what? Look at it. My judgment's what? Listen, he said, it's right every time. Because I judge on truth. Now, look down at verse number 26. He says, I have many things to say and to judge of you. You said, who said that? Who said that? Jesus did. He says, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Now, folks, listen, I could go on and on and on. We've only got just a few minutes. I'm going to give you quick things. Just write them down. I'm going to give you a scripture verse. You can go check it out in your spare time, okay? But what I wanted to do simply was tonight was this. I want you to get away from being fearful of judging matters because you're going to have to. It's part of life, all right? You say, well, what if I hurt somebody's feelings? Well, sometimes judging does hurt somebody's feelings, but you're not to judge somebody in the sense to hurt them. Okay, that's sinful judgment. Listen, we're not judging physicality, we're not judging motive, we're not judging position. But there are some things you have to judge. Now, with that in the context, now do you understand now why Jesus said about the Pharisees, by their fruits, you shall what? Yeah, he had already set the tone of the right righteous judgment. Look at it, if you would, turn to John 7. Turn to John 7. Okay, you're right close there. John 7, verse 24. Jesus said, judge not according to the appearance. Because you know what appearance can do? Any of you ever been fooled before by somebody's appearance? He said, don't judge that way. He said, that's sinful judgment. Because if you judge by appearance, guess what you're judging? You're probably judging motive and position. Don't do that. Here's how he told us to do. He said, but judge righteous judgment. Now listen, did you see that? Did you see he says, now listen, you're going to have to judge. Don't judge by appearance. Judge by righteous judgment. You say, what's that? Write these down real quick. Here it is. First of all, judge scripturally. Judge scripturally. You say, what is our standard?
the Bible. That's your handbook.
We have a Christian school. We have a Bible college. I'm not going to embarrass these students, but I'm sure by now, what are we at the end of September? I know all of them have read the handbook. I know they have. Because they're Christians, right? They've all read the handbook. They probably know it like the back of their hand. If I call some of these TBA students right down here and I said, can you tell me what item number 8 is on page 20? They'd probably tell me like that. Because they know that handbook like the back of their hand.
I mean, if I had Brother Combs stand up and I said, hey, he probably knows that handbook like the back of his hand, right?
Now listen, we ought to know it like the back of our hand. And the thing about it is, can I say this? We ought to know this book like the back of our hand. That way, when judgment time comes, we judge scripturally. And we know how to go about the process. Listen, church, standing for right and against wrong is not sinful judgment. When you stand up against immoral acts in Scripture and you stand up against, that's not judging someone sinfully. You have to stand up for what's right. Listen, you parents have kids in schools, maybe it's Christian school, public school, private school. Listen, I promise you, if there's an issue with your child and the kid comes home and says, listen, Daddy, you're not going to believe this. They're smoking dope in the bathroom today. What? And listen, you know what you're going to do? You're going to school, aren't you? And listen, here's what you're going. You're going with the mentality of judging. That's what you're going with the mentality. Listen, you're not going to try to hurt anybody. You know what you're going to try to do? You're going to try to find who's at the bottom of this. And you're going to try to get it corrected. It's okay. It's okay. So, well, I just don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Well, then let me ask you this. Are you going to let your kid get going while they're smoking dope in the bathroom? No, you're not going to do that. What you're going to do is you're going to stand up. So judge Scripture. Number two, judge wisely. Judge wisely. You say, how do we do that? Well, you can go to the polls and vote. Just don't be vindictive. Okay? You don't go to the poll and punch somebody out because they don't vote for the same people you vote for. You just go vote. There are avenues. Let me give you a hint right here. Just jot this down. Be silent on matters where God is silent. Boy, I tell you one thing. You talking about saving myself a bunch of turmoil? How many times do you ever hear your mom and dad say, listen, keep your mouth shut if you don't know anything about the matter? And can I say to you, as your preacher, there's some things we just need to keep our mouth shut on. Okay? You know why? Because God didn't detail it. God didn't detail it in Scripture. Now listen to me. With that said, this does not incorporate direct statements of Scripture as being the only thing. Well, it's not in the Bible. Listen to me. Do you know the Scripture teaches by principle? And it also, listen to me, this is important. It also teaches by spirit. We have what we call in our rule book the spirit of the law. You say, well, it's not in there in black and white. I didn't see it. Yeah, but the spirit of it is there. Okay, there is what is called intent there. All right? And so we've got to be careful. So judge scripturally, judge wisely. John 21:25. You can look that up on your own. Number three, judge prayerfully. Judge prayerfully. 1 Kings 3:9. Remember Solomon? Solomon could have asked for anything in the world. He fell on his knees before God. What did he ask for? He asked for discernment to be able to judge the people. That's what he asked for. So we need to judge prayerfully. James 1:5. If any man lack wisdom, let him let him ask of God. And you know what God will do? He'll give it. He'll give it freely. We need to consider our ability. You know what? In the flesh, we don't have the ability to judge right. We've got to be led of the Spirit. Sometimes judging must be done. But it's not. But a lot of times, folks, it's not easy. And in some cases, it's certainly not comfortable. So you need to judge prayerfully. Number four, judge consistently. Judge consistently. Proverbs 24:23. The Scripture said it's not good to have respect of persons in judgment. Not a good thing. You say, what am I supposed to do? Well, first of all, be just in your evaluation. If you're going to hold one person to the rule, hold them all. Okay? Next, be consistent with all people. Be consistent. operate by the same guidelines. And what's our guidelines?
The Bible.
Okay? So judge consistently. Next, judge truthfully. Jeremiah 5:1. We don't have time to go there tonight. Run out of time. You read that. Judge truthfully. In other words, be factual, be steadfast. In your judgment, be factual. If you're going to say, well, the Bible says, well, let's make sure we got the Bible in it and it's not your doctrine. Okay? You ever heard people say, well, the Bible says this? You think, man, I never read that in the Bible. And they're saying, you say, where is that? Well, it's in there. I read it. And basically what they did is they took a phrase here and a phrase and a phrase there and they created their own verse. Judge truthfully. Next, judge mercifully. Judge mercifully. Remember Matthew 7:2? Remember what Jesus said? How by the same meat that you judge, it's going to be measured. Okay? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man, that shall he also reap. That includes our process, our method, our motive of judging. So remember the law of sowing and reaping. Remember the criteria that God uses to judge us today. And then remember that people do have family. So we need to be merciful. And then let me give you one more. Judge internally. Matthew 7:1. I read that. Judge not, lest you be, or that you be not judged. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30, to judge ourselves. We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 that we are to examine ourselves and listen, and prove ourselves. If you go back to Matthew 7:1, there it is, all in a nutshell. Right there. That's how it's supposed to operate. We don't enter into the process of judging unless we first examine our method and our motives for doing it. But you folks, we're going to have to judge. We got school teachers here, both Christian, private, public. And you know what they have to do all the time? They have to take tests and grade them. Man, red, you know. You know what they're doing? Listen, they're not judging sinfully. They're judging righteously. Because you know what? 2 + 2 = 8. And for, listen, for a teacher to say, well, I'll just let that one slide this. You're not helping them. And if we don't judge some matters, let me tell you something. We're not helping people, and we're certainly not helping the cause of Jesus Christ. I hope this has helped you tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who can say, preacher, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, no question about it. Hand way up high, say, that's me. I'm a born-again believer. All right, wonderful. You can put your hands down.